Free speech is the main right that you have. Without it, you have no others. Tucker Carlson.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. The court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
All right, welcome back to Court is in Session, finally, after forever. We got on Louis Geer and Francois Delecto for the first time in forever, and that's 100% my fault, because y'all have said in the group chat a million times when you record, and I've been like, oh no, man, I gotta do law school, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, some people are busier than others. I mean, we're not gonna blame you.
That's very kind, And I know Francois Delecto is out here doing the most all the time, because that's just what he does.
Well, no longer living out of my car, going across the continent, managing my crypto portfolio or whatever, however Lewis described it last year.
Are you no longer managing your crypto portfolio?
You're not actively managing your Fortune 500?
Well, I just, it's all staked Ethereum now, so just.
Oh, good. Smart.
Wow. Were you ever on the Bitcoin hype train or Bitcoin Cash hype train?
I had some Bitcoin, but I never believed in Bitcoin Cash because it just sounded like Bitcoin, but dumber.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And now it seems like Ethereum is a bit of a sleeper horse, apparently. It's becoming more popular.
I guess, but aren't they all kind of down a good bit?
All down a lot. I was joking when I made my comment about Ethereum.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But
they're all worth more than the dollar.
Well, yeah, that's true. But Ethereum doesn't have nukes, so. You know,
well, it depends on your time horizon. So like, if you had like had a lot of Bitcoin 2 years ago and then you bought dollars with that, you'd be up a lot on your dollars.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Or not 2 years ago, a year ago.
Yeah. I mean, what was the high for Bitcoin? It was like in the 40s or 50s.
No, it was like, it scratched 60,000.
Wow. Yeah.
That's insane.
That is insane.
And it was like, it's going to 100 and then like one of my friend's dad said like, yeah, it's guaranteed to go to 100 pretty much. And that's when I kind of thought it was going to turn around, and it did.
Whenever the friend's dad is sure of it,
it's like
that's the time to get out.
You ever heard of this like anecdote from, I think it was like JFK's father. And it was like, he was in line at a supermarket and the bag boy was giving him stock tips. And he said, when you're having some sort of retard like that giving you stock tips, you know, the market's about to crash.
I didn't know that was JFK's father, but I have heard that anecdote before.
I'm pretty sure that's why. It's someone related to JFK. I'm pretty sure it's his dad.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's probably Joseph P. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the time to get out when everybody's too excited about it.
What's what Warren Buffett says? Be greedy when people are fearful and fearful when people are greedy.
Yeah.
Right now, I feel like everyone's just kind of like on the fence and trying to figure out. Like, I think a lot of people want a crash, and because of that, there's not going to be a crash because like there's too many people who are prepared for it, and like it just can't happen. Like, there's another, I can't remember who said this. This is an old piece of stock market wisdom that like a crash won't happen until the last bear gives up. Like when the last person rooting for a crash just like throws in the towel, like fuck it, it's just not going to crash. That's when it's going to crash.
Interesting.
There's too many bears right now.
I was it has been a while since the last episode, but I was rooting for a crash, and now to the general audience, I have moved to a big city and now I am hoping that there is not a crash, because I do not want anarchy in my big city.
It depends on what,
as opposed to your medium city.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah.
But I guess it depends on what kind of crash, though, because if it's an economic crash, that would put you secure in your employment.
I think thankfully that the job that I have is fairly recession proof.
Yeah.
So I'm not that concerned about losing it. But at the same time, you know, when GDP goes down and unemployment goes up, crime goes up.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So that's what I'm afraid of. Yeah. And homelessness. And homelessness is already on the rise anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just going to become even worse.
Speaking of homelessness, should we talk about what happened in New York the other week?
Yeah.
It's.
I can try and give a recap for the audience, for all of our one listener. And basically, it seems like that There was regular subway trip going on, and a homeless individual got onto the subway car, starting getting loud in people's faces. I believe he was making verbal threats or just very verbally hostile language to a lot of people. And eventually, a couple of the patrons were afraid that he was going to get physical, so they decided to try to subdue him. This included one former Navy SEAL, I believe. The guy was
a Marine, I think.
Marine, yeah. One former Marine, and then two other individuals that did subdue him. The Marine put him in a chokehold and subdued him. And then I actually believe that you can see in the video, because it was video of it, that the guy is still the homeless individual is still responsive by the time that the whole altercation is over, and he's not pronounced dead until he gets to the hospital.
Really?
Yes.
Now, what was the name of the homeless person? And it was Stefan, right? Stefan Babin?
No, I think it was Jordan Neely. I think that's what his name was.
That was his name or the name of the Marine?
No, I think the name of the room was like Nick something.
Okay.
Penny.
Let me get the facts up here. For the first time, we're gonna fact check the podcast. Daniel Penny.
Let's get Jamie on it.
Yeah, Daniel Penny is the name of the Marine.
Okay.
And I think Jordan Neely is the name of the homeless individual.
Yeah. Now they haven't charged the Marine, right?
They just arraigned him yesterday.
Oh, did they arraign him yesterday?
He's out on bail, 100,000.
Yeah. The immediate comments that I was seeing from people is that this guy needs to be out of the country. Like the day after it happened, he was like, he needs to like leave because he's not, you know, because if he just turns himself in, who knows what's going to happen? And he did turn himself in.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, I have to say it's interesting because he's been charged with second degree manslaughter. Whereas Alec Baldwin has been charged with not anything.
Yeah. Do you know Francois or Corey, you're the lawyer, so maybe you'll know. What is the distinction between first and second degree manslaughter?
That's something I should know and will learn as I keep studying for the bar. Not an attorney yet for those on the in the DC.
Here, let's ask ChatGPT.
No, there we go. Yeah. Ask the AI. Yeah.
I mean, it may have to do with, because I know the difference between first and second degree murder is premeditation, but that wouldn't make too much sense with manslaughter. So first versus second degree.
Well, I guess you could premeditate accidentally killing someone.
I think that's what Alec Baldwin did.
Okay, so first degree manslaughter, also known as voluntary manslaughter, generally involves the intentional killing of another person, but with mitigating circumstances that reduce the culpability of the defendant, whereas second-degree manslaughter is known as involuntary manslaughter when you kill someone on accident, basically.
So
that's sort of like what people normally think of manslaughter, second-degree manslaughter.
Yeah, right. And they're charging the Marine with second-degree manslaughter?
Yeah, so which means like he was like criminally negligent, like they don't believe he was trying to kill him, but like they think that he was just like not trying hard enough not to kill him, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. A distinction I read on, I just
in the eyes of the state,
like first degree is if you intend to hurt somebody and accidentally kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Second degree is when you kill somebody just by acting like negligently, but
right. The family wants him to be charged with outright murder.
Yeah, I've heard like second degree murder or something like that. Yeah. Which that would make zero sense in a situation like this. But I can't.
I think either. I think if he is convicted of either charge, it's gonna be a difficult day.
I think involuntary manslaughter sounds like, from the little I know about the case, to be like a fair description of what might have happened.
Yeah, if you were going to charge somebody with what happened, if you were going to charge him, that would be the proper charge. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. I know a lot of progressives have been really upset with Mayor Adams' kind of response to it all, thinking he's not taking a hard enough stance against this guy.
What has his official comments been?
I think he's just been like, you know, it's sad when things like this happen, and I believe in the justice system to do the right outcome or something like that, instead of just, I
I
don't
actually
know.
just read that a large number of law students, he was the commencement speaker at graduation, stood up and turned around from Mayor Adams.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds. Yeah, I mean, that's another comment.
Were you one of them, Court?
I was not.
He
You know, I
wasn't
think.
speaking at George Mason.
No, at the commencement that happens this Friday. No.
He didn't go to the future, and then I read about it in the Wall Street Journal.
Believe it or not. And man, I guess the other thing that we wanted to talk about is Tucker Carlson left Fox News.
I know that was almost a month ago already.
Well, fired.
Was he fired?
Yes.
I Forced
mean,
out, effectively
forced out,
forced out.
yeah.
That's almost a month.
Effectively forced out is from what I've heard, yeah.
Has that been that long?
I don't think it's been a month. Has it been a month?
It was in April for sure.
Damn. Damn.
Time flies when you're.
It might have been like April 26th, so it's maybe perhaps more like 2 weeks, but still.
How hard do you think it would be to get Tucker Carlson on Courtesan Session? Do you think do you think we have a rival number of
I think it
faithful?
might work. I think we could, you know.
I mean, I believe his first Twitter video after the fact got about 100 million views.
Okay, so we gotta catch up
So,
a little bit,
a
but
little bit,
yeah.
yeah. Yeah, but should we talk about how it seems he's going to get an independent show on Twitter.com?
I don't know what the actual reality of that is, because now Elon Musk has announced that there's going to be a new CEO, and it seems like it's the worst possible person to replace him. You think?
Right.
I mean, I.
But
It's
this but he's still going to be CTO overseeing products like the new Tucker Carlson show.
yeah. I mean, I do have to see how it kind of manifests itself, because, like. You know, the target audience for Tucker Carlson is really like the 55-year-old white dude. I can't imagine him sitting there for 45
I
minutes.
don't think so. I mean, I think he has. I think Tucker Carlson has a lot of young
He
fans.
does have a lot of young fans, but I think his bread and butter is kind of the old pissed off suburbanite.
I think I remember reading somewhere like 48% of his audience was under 30, which is like the highest for anyone on that on that cha on that old station.
I think he should just run for president. Maybe he
I,
will. Maybe not in this
he
election.
did he did tell a reporter he was going to, and then said he was joking afterward, but
Yeah.
like
I mean,
very recently.
I think 5 to 10 years, America could slide down a little bit more. And
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, Tucker could be potentially a Caesar-like figure.
I think that'd be the scenario, really.
I think he could be RFK's running mate, maybe.
That would be quite amazing. I think that would be awesome.
Well, I know we had talked about this should be the time to do this. Francois, you have directed the conversation in the proper direction for us to give our official endorsement from the Courtesan Session podcast for who should be
Wow, is it
the next
happening? Is
presidential secretary.
CIIS going to endorse RFK Jr. for president?
RFK Jr. for president, and who? Tulsi for vice?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with that. I mean, he might need somebody that's a little bit right wing to sort of cut off his left wing stuff, because he's kind of insane in some areas.
So what
But
about Tucker then?
Tucker for Vice.
Tucker
Tucker
for
for
vice.
Vice. That could work. That could work. That'd
This
be
is
insane.
so it should. I should tell the audience this isn't my personal endorsement, but I think the podcast is good for
That sounds like a distinction without a difference.
Exactly.
Are we a, is Courtesan Session a 501c3 nonprofit? Because then we can't endorse political candidates.
Courtesan Session actually is technically owned by Old Dominion Economic Consulting, which is just an S Corp.
Ah, okay.
In the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Is it?
Huh?
Is it? Is that is that like the parent company of the ACU or something?
No. This is not an ACU thing. This is me personally. Old Dominion
Oh, but
Economic.
you oh, do you actually have an LLC that you put it inside?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That was it was such a dramatic old sounding name that I'm like, oh, that must be a shell company for someone very old.
It's a shell company for all of my various goings on.
I love that. That's great. You didn't want to make a Florida-based LLC? Are you on LLC TikTok? Quarters in Session needs to get on LLC TikTok.
Maybe it should. I'm not on LLC TikTok at the moment. What kind of stuff goes on LLC TikTok?
Basically, there's just like TikToks of like young urban people, if you know what I mean, suggesting that you defraud banks or credit unions, although they kind of couch it in more business-like terms.
Okay.
They explain that there are some, if you create an EIC, an LLC with an EIN that isn't attached to your social security card and you fill out a certain amount of paperwork the right way, you can get, they're just basically, long story short, they're explaining you how to try to defraud like Navy Federal or something. That seems to be their favorite one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I've been seeing. Like, you get like a loan or like some sort of investment from the bank for like $10,000, $20,000.
Yeah, like $50,000 sometimes. And it's basically the cliche is that like business credit will change your life. Let me show you how you can get $1 million in business credit and you can use that to change your life.
Yeah.
It's,
do these people actually ever change their life or do they just spend it all on?
Well, you see the people who make the TikTok sell a course on how to do it. And I believe at this point, some of them have changed their lives by probably selling 100 or 200,000 $50 courses that are just like PDFs of how to set up an LLC.
Yeah.
So for a very small number, yeah, I would say it probably has.
Well, maybe I need to do that with ODAC. But anyway, for the time being, yes, that's the distinction without a difference, is that CIIS can endorse RFK for president.
That's awesome.
Tucker Carlson for vice president.
That's awesome. I think it might be too early for Mr. Lewis Gear to endorse somebody, but I would say RFK is probably at the top of the list. I think Ron DeSanctimonious has slidden a little bit. Of course, Tulsi is always going to be at my top. She's queen.
Yeah.
And I think a DeSantis Tulsi ticket could be good, but an RFK Jr. fucking Tucker ticket, that would have my full endorsement, 100%.
That might just be what this country needs.
But if it was also, I've been saying this for a while, if it was an RFK versus DeSantis general election, I'd be pretty okay with the direction of the country.
Yeah, I think I'd be happy either way. I think
I'd be like, wow, how do we fix all our problems all at once all of a sudden? We have a healthy election for once.
Yeah, if we had a good option. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think an RFK presidency with a Republican Congress would be really potent.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really strong.
Yeah. I think nobody would really know what to do with it. You know, the old establishment would just...
No, I mean, the Republicans are retarded anyway, so anytime that they do have power, they don't do anything regardless.
Yeah, no, it's true. We do have a way of really just shooting ourselves in the foot. And you're seeing that right now with the way we're just trying to force Donald Trump to get this nomination, right? Like,
it's so funny, though. Did you see his town hall?
I did see his town hall. And what cracks me up about the town hall is everybody on the right is like, you know, he just owns CNN. I bet CNN looks so stupid right now. It's like, first of all, I mean, you don't have to predict the way that Donald Trump is going to act in something like that. And also, like, I think that worked out perfectly for CNN because, you know, Donald Trump went up and he got, you know, his classic Republicans all fired up. He gave his little, you know, his little zingers that people love to hear. The Democrats walk away pissed off. And the independents are like, you know, why do I care about the 2020 election anymore? Stop talking about it. So he didn't do anything in that to grow the base. But everybody on the right's calling it some sort of huge win, and I just don't see how that benefits him at all.
You guys see the article in The Onion where it's like Trump condemned for platforming CNN?
That's funny. On the lines of that, I did see a lot of progressives get mad about everything, but I did see that they were freaking out that CNN was having not DeSantis, Trump on.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, everything is so ridiculous at this point. Like, yeah. it's been clown world since 2016, I think.
When Harambe was shot.
Yeah, I mean, that was the nexus point. That was the nexus point, I think. So it's. I think 2020, I mean, every election has gotten worse since 2016, right? I mean, like 2016 was already pretty bad. Then 2020 was even worse. And now 2024, if it's fucking Biden and Trump again, I mean, that's just, we deserve whatever we get.
We really do.
We
I still hold on to like this weird fantasy that somehow Hillary will enter the primary, get the Democratic nomination and then lose again. That would just be really funny.
If Biden fucking collapses in office, they're gonna go with Hillary. I think so. I'm willing to put money on that. I'm willing to put money on that.
I'm just saying everyone here has the opportunity to do the funniest possible thing, which is to rerun the 2016 election exactly the way it happened.
That would be the butt. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much.
It's kind of like, you know, the other funniest possible thing would be for like RFK to win and the CIA to shoot him. That would also be pretty funny.
I mean,
I wish we could have it both ways.
No, here, I think we can. And here's how. RFK wins the primary, gets dangerously close to winning the presidency, gets shot by the CIA. And then the Democratic National Committee places Hillary at the top of the ticket.
See, I had forgotten RFK's father, RFK Sr., did die after winning the California primary and clinching the nomination. Like, that's when they shot him that time.
Yeah.
So they could just do a rerun of that.
Yeah, that's what it'd be. Like, right after RFK Jr. gets the nomination, like, the day after the convention, he's executed.
Yeah.
And then the delegation or whoever decides, like, the delegates and stuff, they all meet in like closed door meetings and they just like, we're picking Hillary and that's what we're running with.
and then Donald Trump.
That's fucking retard. Probably like Donald Trump and Carrie Lake, you know, whoever he picks as his VP.
I think that is the funniest possible thing to happen. Yeah.
Well, no, really the funniest thing to happen is that situation with RFK and Hillary I just described. And then Trump loses the RNC nomination, so he runs third party.
Yes.
And then I guess Ron DeSanctimonious takes the RNC or whatever loser we have. And then it's a three-way election. And I think that would be incredible.
And then Donald Trump dies of COVID.
No, I mean, he can't die. He can't die of COVID.
I did, and I think we talked about this on an earlier podcast, Francois. Like, I think you were the one who said it would have just been interesting to see what would happen if Donald Trump, when he was in the hospital with COVID, had just died. Like, just
that would have like undid the Harambe death somehow. That would have been like the opposite of Harambe dying.
Mm, that's a good argument.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, and then we would have just like
we would have gone
back to normal.
Back to normal.
Mike Pence would have been president. He's the most vanilla Republican in the room always. It would have just been like a George Bush.
Do you think Pence, how do you think Pence would have handled COVID? Do you think he would have been like Trump or closer to Ron?
I honestly probably closer to Trump because
I feel like if you believe in gay conversion therapy, you don't like vaccines, right?
That's a good point.
That's a one-to-one.
So what are – I guess what's the distinction here? Because Donald Trump was really into vaccines and he was close to Fauci for a while there.
Trump had the fetish for vaccines, but at the same time he just listened to – and now he's trying to like rewrite history, but he just listened to everything that Burke said, everything that Fauci said. He was fully on board with locking down the country.
Yeah.
You know, and then – and he was like making comments about Ron at the time, about Ron opening back up. And now he's trying to say Ron was the hardliner for trying to close down the state when Ron was the only one. And this is really the only area where I'll defend DeSantis is Ron was the only person that did the 2 weeks. Yeah. He shut down for 2 weeks. After that, he opened back up and it's been, you know, and Florida's been good ever since.
Yeah.
So if I had to pick Trump or DeSantis just on the point of COVID, then it's going to be DeSantis every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's without a doubt. And RFK is pretty good on all that, too.
Should we discuss the impending, like, potential default of the federal government on its debts?
Yeah, I'd love to. That's a fascinating situation.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
if it were up to you, what would you do? Would you let the U.S. default to wipe the record clean?
I don't think I would do that.
To get rid of our fiat currency and force us back on the gold standard.
I would never do that, but I'm a dirty socialist monetarist, as people keep telling me. But I mean, for one thing, people are freaking out about this way too early. Like,
what do you mean? Aren't we only like 3 weeks away?
Like a month away.
We've gotten closer before, haven't we?
Oh, we've gotten a lot closer. I think in 2011 or whatever, we were really close. What's freaking everybody out is that the Republicans have actually grown a spine. And Kevin McCarthy's actually like being a hardliner about this for the first time ever. So I'm like pleasantly surprised at the way he's handling this, because if it was Paul Ryan, he would have folded weeks ago. So, and it was funny because like, y'all remember we've been talking about this forever, and Joe Biden's like, I'm not going to meet with them. I'm just not going to do it. Not going to meet with them was originally the thing. And then it became, I'm not going to meet with them until they have a budget. And then he's like, and then they're like, well, we have a budget. We passed it. And then Biden was like, well, I'm not meeting with them until, you know, rollbacks on Medicaid and Medicare are off the table. And he's like, that was never on the table.
Right. Yeah. They're never going
to
do that.
Yeah. That was never going to happen. And now it's like, well, we've been wanting to meet forever. It's like, no, you haven't. Don't act like you're the level heads in the room. But I think McCarthy's been doing a good job at like standing his ground. And I think eventually somebody's going to fold and there's going to be some sort of compromise. But what's really scary to me is the fact that Biden is so quick already to say like, oh, we can just use the 14th Amendment for this, which is just a ridiculous. First of all, it's such an absurd reading of the 14th Amendment. And second of all, like, you know, there's such thing as a benevolent dictatorship, but like that is dictatorial to just say, I'm going to pass laws now.
Well, I mean, that's been the history of the entire Biden presidency.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the amount of executive power he has tried to exercise is insane, especially with the student loan debt thing that happened that's now being blocked by the courts. But it just insane. And he's not going to stop. And I think that's always the type of person. He is, in a way, FDR 2.0. That is Biden. That's the Biden presidency.
Well, FDR actually worked with Congress to some extent.
Well, he also owned Congress, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still, that counts.
No, it's true. So, and he was able to use Congress to kind of dick around the courts as well.
Yeah.
So he owned all three branches of government, which is fascinating. He was a very good politician, as much as I can't stand the guy. But I think it's a very good point about Biden.
On the same birthday as Dick Cheney.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, two evil men on the same day.
Man.
I think Lewis Geer's official position would be the default should happen. I think this is, you know, we have nobody in the room. No matter what happens, I think court, with whichever way it goes, there's not going to be anybody in the room making the decisions that you or I agree with.
Yeah.
Right. So if the default happens, I want that to happen. But at the same time, there's not going to be people in the room that I like that are going to be able to direct us how to move forward so that we have a better and more stable financial future.
Yeah.
So if we have these morons in the room, like these MMTers that are currently there, and we do default, I don't know what goes on at that point. But if realistically, the hopeful thing would be default, you know, it shows that we could never afford this $32 trillion debt. We can never afford debt anywhere close to that big. We need to have reasonable spending. But I think what's going to happen is we're going to get down to a week or less, and a deal is going to be cut where the Republicans get border security stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they get border security stuff. They get more fucking Ukraine money, you know, whatever these morons want. And then they're going to make a backroom deal. The people aren't going to have a say on it like always. And then that's it. It's just going to be cleaned up. We're not going to default. They're going to raise the debt limit. That's what they always do.
Yeah, that's what they – yeah.
They always
well, do. I mean, the Republicans already passed a bill to – raise a debt limit.
Right.
Like that's already happening. That was never raising the debt limit's never been the issue here.
It's ridiculous.
I will say a funny thing that happened to me was back in January when people started talking about this, right when they said that the default might happen in June, was right after I had bought several 6-month T-notes that expired in July. And I was like, wait a second. When did you say? June? So I had like a couple weeks there where I was like, hey guys, could you just like, you know, put another month on that?
Damn.
Shouldn't have listened.
But Court, just for an intellectual exercise, if you would, can you walk us through like what would happen if we did default, like just vaguely to your understanding?
And to your understanding of who would be in the room making the decisions that come right after.
Yeah. So I think part of what's weird about these defaults is that nobody quite knows what would happen. I mean, if you want my honest opinion about what would actually happen is probably, honestly, probably the Federal Reserve would just kind of start printing money to fill the debt, and we'd get pretty hardcore inflation there. And I'm sure Jay Powell would be more than happy to do it. Like, none of these doomsday scenarios would really, really happen. You'd have, you know, Janet Yellen saying something about, well, the integrity of, you know,
I hate that woman so much.
I did too. She was such a squirrely Fed chair, and now she's here as Treasury Secretary, and all she's doing is just like asking for money and making bad policy decisions. Yeah. And the people that would be in on that decision would be Janet Yellen, Jay Powell, Joe Biden, and, you know, he'd probably appoint some like special counsel.
Stephanie Kelton.
Yeah, someone like that. So like, I think what people are saying would happen is maybe some of these debtors would try to call the debt, and then we would just be in a situation where we become bankrupt and nobody would trust the US dollar anymore, and people would stop trading in it. They would be collapsed. I don't think any of these scenarios are really going to happen. I think realistically, what's going to happen is there's going to be a compromise and they're going to raise the debt ceiling, because they always do. If not, then the Federal Reserve will be ordered by some dubious tangential law to print enough money needed.
If we do default, is that just putting on paper what everybody essentially knows, that we're never going to be able to pay off, you know, any of this debt in a realistic sense?
Well, I mean, I think the difference there is that we are still making payments on like the interest of our debt. And I think this goes to not paying like the interest on the debt.
Well, hang on, Court. I have a question for you. The government gets a certain amount of revenue every month, right? That covers like approximately 2/3 of like their expenses or something. Isn't that true-ish?
Yeah.
Couldn't they just like triage it so that we kept making the interest payments with that income that came in, and then just like stopped paying, like, I don't know, the military or something, or, you know, something like that, just so that we would still be servicing the debt, but just not paying our other bills?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's a realistic thing. Right. I mean, probably.
Well, would that be less damaging than like printing more money? Because, like, you know, at least then the debt would start to go down. So.
Well, it depends on who you ask. I think an MFTer would say no. Just we want to print. We're looking for an excuse to print more money anyway.
Now, what do you think of that platinum coin, the magic coin people say Janet Yellen can make?
Yeah, the $1 trillion coin.
Yeah, the $1 trillion coin. Yeah.
Is that a good idea?
No,
it just,
who do you give it? Who would we give it to? China?
Well, I think no. I don't think we'd give it to anybody. The idea is that it would just exist.
What?
That's dumb.
Yeah,
I thought the plan was like to give it to our biggest debtor, and then they wouldn't be able to like break it at any cash registers, so like they wouldn't be able to spend it anyway.
Break it at any. Like they buy a Coke with it and just get like buckets of change.
All the money in the world for like change.
It's like in SpongeBob when he has the coin on the string.
Yeah.
He just uses it to make like infinite like purchases. You know, it just never runs out.
Yeah, because I thought like the idea behind the platinum coin was to, you'd actually give it to someone and like that would be wipe our debt clean. And then like they wouldn't be able to spend it because it's a $1 trillion coin. So they'd just be like up Schitt's Creek financially.
But it wouldn't wipe the debt clean, right? Because it would only be 1/33 of the whole debt.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of...
It would only go to our largest creditor, and it would set us back pretty far. So,
I see. I never really understood the idea behind the coin. I thought the idea was that it would just kind of exist and it would like inflate the currency in that we'd have more money, but also like it wouldn't be able to be spent so that it wasn't it wouldn't have as bad of
I
inflation.
honestly thought it was a joke the first time I heard about it, and then I
No,
realized
people
people were
are
serious.
actually think it's why if the United States owed me $1 trillion and they just gave me a $1 trillion coin, why would I take that?
With Hillary Clinton's face on
Yeah, with Hillary Clinton's face on. Why would I take that? Like, here it is, but you can't spend it. Like,
it.
that seems even worse than defaulting on debt because what
Because
creditors would you what
the coin would say on it, this is legal tender for all debts, public and private.
And then what would they
So they'd
do?
have to take it.
It all seems nonsensical to me. Do you what do you think, Korth, the probability is of the US ever seeing Weimar Republic style hyperinflation? Or maybe not even that bad, but hyperinflation in the definitional sense.
I think about that a lot, like probably like a Venezuela, probably more
I
like a
mean
Venezuelan style thing.
that is the collapse. Like that is the point where nobody can afford anything anymore, and we live in poverty permanently.
So I for well one for, first of all, I do have to interject because I don't think permanent poverty is ever really a thing. Because I think economic collapses, even so, only last for about a decade. And people kind of claw back. Like, even the Soviet Union, when that collapsed, like, they're still a lot poorer than they were, and it set them back a lot, but they're not like an impoverished country. Like, Germany after the war wasn't, like, in 10 years, like, people were able to afford to eat and things like that. I don't know of any country that is collapsed so completely that they're like just totally impoverished,
I mean, a
especially.
lot of African nations, right?
Yes, but they're all like hardcore communist countries, and they never really had a booming economy in the first
Well, I
place.
would say there's a functional difference between an economic collapse and a societal collapse.
Yes,
Germany did
okay.
kind of have a sort of period of like near anarchy before they like, I can't remember how they did it, but they reset their currency. They were like, okay, all that money's fake. Here's our real currency. And somehow they
This is
established credibility for it. Germany
Germany.
in the early Weimar period.
Yeah.
Because like there actually were like militias like roving around fighting each other. They were called
But
the
yeah,
like the
so
Freikorps.
I don't think there's I'm too much of an optimist to think there's ever going to be a point where it's just like permanent societal collapse. And what was the original question? I'm sorry. I
Did
kind
you
of
think that there'd ever be a period of
Oh.
hyperinflation in the US?
Oh, I do think about that a lot. I think if we lose our global reserve currency status, then yes.
Whoa,
I think
really?
yes. I think we're at a long way from there because I think that would lead to like a pretty widespread global
Well,
economic
that it'd
crisis.
have to be a whole restructuring of the economics,
It
global
would.
economic system, yeah.
It would. And that new currency would also experience pretty hardcore hyperinflation. So you'd have a period of about a decade of like just such huge global currency instability, like just insanity. But yeah, I think we'd have pretty hardcore hyperinflation in the United States along like this, not Zimbabwe, maybe not even like the mark back in the day, but like a Venezuela kind of thing where people would go to the grocery store at the beginning of the day instead of the end of the day because they knew that they would save 10% on their groceries and stuff like that because it would just be that insane. I think that would trigger that because I think if the world's reserve currency was no longer the dollar, then people would try to dump their dollars back into the United States and would just kind of get repatriated and the US economy wouldn't really know how to handle that because so many dollars are not used in America. So to just put them all back in US banks would start just a massive cycle of inflation. That's my guess.
I guess there is a low concern of the US losing its reserve currency status because there's really not a good enough competitor against it. Like, it's not going to be replaced by the euro.
China could like reduce the money supply by like, I don't know, just like having the federal government blow up a couple of mid-sized banks or something.
Like that. That's what I was thinking too. Yeah, just burn some of the money off.
They could burn some of the money off. They could just sell lots and lots of. What I would probably do is sell lots and lots and lots of treasury bonds, and just like as quickly as you can, sell all the treasury bonds for as high a price as you can, and then just say we're not going to release these massive reserves that we have back into the economy. And that would stave it off. You'd have to make the interest rate immediately very, very high and stuff like
that. Well, and that's part of the problem too, is in order to do that, you would be knowingly and willingly putting a lot of financial strain on the majority of Americans, probably starting a recession.
Yeah.
That needs to happen anyway.
Yeah.
But like attacking Medicare, Medicaid, it's political suicide in the sense where if you're a president, you need to be understanding and willing to be a one-term president that's going to be hated throughout history.
Yeah. And I think the other thing you do at that point that allows you to bounce back as quick as possible and strongly is that's when you go to a gold-backed currency. And usually I'm not a fan of returning to the gold standard just because I think that returning to the gold standard would have such incredible economic consequences that wouldn't be worth it if we were to do that now. But if you're already in a situation where your currency is very unstable and in limbo, I think that's the time that you try to return back to a gold-backed currency. But I do agree that trying to move to, you know, a different world reserve currency would make no sense. I've heard that China and Russia are kind of trying to come together and make some sort of new currency, but the reason that the US dollar was able to do it is because we were backed by gold at the time that we became the world's reserve currency after Bretton Woods. That's the reason that we were chosen as a world reserve currency. If China and Russia were to try to put enough of their new currency on the market that would like just start working, if that makes sense, like you'd have to have a massive team of economists really trying to figure that out. And there would still be a period of pretty hardcore instability as the market tries to figure out how much these things are worth.
What if Russia made like a new currency backed by NFTs of Putin not having his shirt on? Would that
work? On the horseback?
Yeah.
I'd be willing to pay a few Ethereum for those.
Francois, I'd really appreciate it if you didn't come on my podcast and come up with these policies that would unequivocally make Russia the most powerful country in the world.
I think this was too good of an idea. I feel like this is like a dog whistle from Francois that he supports Russia in the Ukrainian war.
I think so. that was really horrifying.
I was just talking from the. I was shooting from the hip.
And also, I want like NFT gifts of Gorbachev in the Pizza Hut commercial.
Everybody chanted
Gorbachev. Yeah, Gorbachev. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, Donald Trump has been killing it with those NFTs he's been doing. He's been making like.
He sells out on them every fucking time.
But he only takes like $30,000 every time he does it. I don't know.
It's so fucking.
My favorite is the one of him holding the Liberty Bell because one, it makes him look far thinner than he is holding the Liberty Bell, which is like ridiculous proportions because obviously the real Liberty Bell is huge and it's just, and somebody paid $99 for that.
I mean, I think honestly that I think a legitimate part of Joe Biden's appeal is that he is a fit president, and not mentally fit, but physically fit.
Yeah.
And I think that
he wears a suit well.
And I think
Trump
that
is, I would say Trump is like perhaps not fit in one sense of the word, but like, you know, he does have like a pretty mean golf swing if you look how far the ball goes. Like, I think like he would actually take him in a fight if he had a golf club.
Yeah. No, I think he's got a lot of strength behind him. He could probably slim down a little bit though. And then Ron could slim down a little bit as well.
Well, he has been.
Yeah, he has been. He has been.
I think he's been working on it.
Yeah.
He looks kind of like he has work done on his face that they'd like tried to tuck it behind his ears or something, personally, in his recent photos.
Mm. He's trying to get president worthy.
President worthy, yeah.
I'm just saying, we got a lot of really talented plastic surgeons down here in this state.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
A little
Everybody wants Barack Obama back, though.
Are you fucking kidding
well,
me?
Well, the Barack Obama fit.
Oh, the fit. Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my favorite part of the Obama presidency is that we did have a president that was in shape.
Yeah.
Like
kind of classically good looking guy.
Like, I think that's what we need. We need, you know, the triangle of like the male physique.
Yeah.
The only presidents we should have are at the extremes of those triangles. A really fit president like Obama, a giant fucking fat ass like Grover Cleveland or Howard Taft, you know, just extravagant. And then, or like a really like built, muscular, manly president like Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt.
You know, like those are the only three archetypes that we should have.
Yeah.
I wonder what Obama's workout routine was. Let's look that up really quick.
I don't know.
He was. Like, he was a lean guy. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't built, so.
Yeah, like, skinny fit. Yeah.
Like, I think he was probably more of a
cyclist.
Cyclist, a lot of reps on lightweights.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess you
I know Bush, W. Bush would run 3 miles every day, and he could keep a 7-minute mile for all 3 miles. So that's, like, a pretty good time.
Because he was not an especially thin president. I thought he had a bit of a Texas gut, didn't he?
Have you ever seen him in his bike shorts? He was very thin. He just like looked like that.
He just wore big suits, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he did wear big suits.
He was probably partly face too.
Bike shorts. I can't believe.
Yeah, it's kind of like a circular face. I think George W. Bush bike shorts is going to be on.
I mean, HW was pretty thin as well. He was a thin guy.
HW was like true a lifelong athlete though. He was captain of his college baseball team. He was a perennial track runner, always playing tennis. He played a lot. He had like multiple like doubles sets to play with White House staffers.
That's old. It looks post-presidency.
That's true.
Well, so HW was the CIA director. Was
That's
he
true.
A agent before then?
Not officially.
I feel like if you're going to be in the post running any of those agencies, you have to have been a field operative beforehand.
Yeah.
That would just be my rule.
As far as and the public record shows, he was not, but you know, that's the kind of thing they would also hide. So really that could go either way.
I think unless you guys have any final comments, I think we're ready to wind down.
Yeah.
My one piece, I think you guys might enjoy this. And this might be too much of a tell to the deranged audience that we have, but I am in D.C. now. Lewis Gear now lives in D.C. And where I'm going to be living, the closest metro stop, when you get off the metro stop, do you guys want to know the first building that I see when I get off the metro stop?
Deloitte?
No, not Deloitte. Unfortunately not.
McKinsey, the Federal Reserve?
The ATF building.
Oh, no.
The best branch of government.
The most constitutional and legal branch of government.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is such a disgusting and ugly building.
I believe it.
Even my roommate, who is not as insane as I am politically, he was like, they just need to tear that fucking thing down and turn it into a park or something.
Nice. A parking lot.
Yeah. A parking lot. Even an asphalt parking lot would be better, but you know, some green space, you know? Yeah.
So I actually have something that I want to leave y'all with, and it doesn't have anything to do with anything.
There you go.
But the most insane thing happened to me yesterday, and I feel the need to share it. So I was walking from – I'm able to park at my law school and walk to the metro. So yesterday I was walking to the metro, and I had my earbuds in, and I still have the old school Apple white wired ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
same.
I hear somebody like honking their horn, and I look over, and this guy is like – trying to flag me down. He's driving and I didn't recognize him. I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, just 1 second. I'm like, okay. And he like makes a U-turn and pulls around and like starts to try to talk to me on the sidewalk. I'm like, hey man, what's up? He's like, those headphones are too old, man. And I'm like, oh, they're fine with me. He's like, no man, you want these? And he pulls out like a box of AirPods and he's like, well, sell me right now for $200. And I'm like, well, I don't. And he's like, 100. And I'm like, I don't have that on me. He's like, $60 Cash App. I have Cash App right now. I'm like, dude, I no thanks. I'm not, I, I
I don't want them. And he's like, my wife's in the car, man. We need the money. And he like rolls down the window and his wife's like, hi, please buy the AirPods. And I'm like, sorry, dude, I'm not interested. And he gets pissed off at me and just like drives off. And I don't like, there's no moral to the story, I guess. I felt the need to share that with somebody because it felt like a fever dream.
Yeah. Like that's the modern equivalent of like when people would like, you know, wear those trench coats in Central Park and they'd be like, you want to buy a watch?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm just like, I'm 100% sure, obviously, that was a scam. I'm just trying to think of what the scam actually was, because they were sealed AirPods. And I'm wondering if it was full of rocks or
like the box was sealed.
Yeah, the box
like
was
in
sealed.
Plastic.
In plastic. Yeah. So maybe he did that himself and it was full of rocks, or maybe they were hot. I don't know.
Probably hot.
You think?
Or maybe they fell off the back of a truck. You know, he works at a store where he can take a couple.
That's a good point.
He just wants to sell them, make quick cash.
Yeah.
I had a beggar come up to me today.
Maybe he was on the run and like the only fungible, tradable good he had was a couple of AirPods he bought for his wife but hadn't opened yet.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's true. Did they look? How'd they look?
Well, like I said, it was just a sealed box.
No. I mean, how did the people look?
Oh, not especially poor. I mean, the minivan he was driving was like less than 10 years old.
Okay, and that's not bad.
Yeah. So it was, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would have said, like, listen, guy, I need to do some market research first on if these headphones are really what I need or what I want. You know, are they going to be good for the gym? I can't make a decision like this.
Yeah, I should have had him meet me there tomorrow, same time.
Right, be like, yeah, I need to do some research.
I'll meet you here same time tomorrow.
So anyway, I need to just get that off my chest.
No, yeah, that's true.
Francois, anything you wanna leave us with?
No, I don't have anything to leave you with, I'm afraid.
No. Well, it was fantastic talking to y'all. I promise now that I'm graduating on Friday. Promise now that you know, we'll do these more often. I enjoy them.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah.
Now works for me. Lewis is, you know, we're in the same city now, so.
Yeah, Francois is gonna have to come visit us at some point.
I know, I'll have to get up there. I'll look up flights right now. Let me see what they look like.
So, and we'll do a, I don't know what episode, do you know what number episode this is going to be?
I don't. Let's see here. Let's put up on the old Spotify.
Let's see, maybe for the next whole number, if we can hold off doing an episode for another couple of months or whatever.
Yeah.
On the next zero episode, we do a special live episode where all three of us are together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be good. This will be number 23. No, sorry. This will be number 26.
Oh, yeah. Yes, maybe number 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. And we can have people call in with questions and be disappointed by how few people do.
I'll can reach out to some of the idiots that I know and see if they can write me some questions. They don't listen.
Is this still part of the podcast, or are we just talking now?
We're still part of the podcast, but we
can sign out right now and then talk.